Hey y'all, hey, this is Lolita E. Walker, and I am so excited to bring you episode number 29, y'all. Listen, today is a powerful show. I am going to be joined by Dr. Kalik Kirkland, the principal of The Boys Prep, where his message is quite simple. It is that the most creative, passionate, and brightest scholar is always a boy. It's centered in the Bronx, New York, and he has such a unique approach to learning. His population primarily consists of Black and Brown children. And when I asked Dr. Kirkland, how are you teaching these young men in spite of everything that's happening today? Here's a snippet of what he said. And a stark reminder that now is the time that we need to have these conversations with our young children.
Unfortunately, our Black men, Black young men, need to learn very fast how to humble themselves to live another day. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you just humble yourself and say, you know what? My bad, officer. This is what happened. You know, coming very respectfully, because you might not have done anything, but just your initial tone might change your life for the better.
Ooh, I told y'all it was going to be a good one. Grab your pen and pad. You ready? Let's go. Welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker, the podcast that coaches you up while meeting you exactly where you are. Grab your water, tea, or something stronger and allow this podcast to help you feel the power in your pause. Come on in and join the conversation. Let's go. Now, typically, we start every episode with a powerful affirmation from Walker & Walker Enterprises. Now, you can still go ahead and grab your 40 deck of affirmations directly from lolitawalker.com/shop. But today, our affirmation for the first time is going to be taken by someone else other than me. And it is so powerful and so in tune with this episode right here. Today's affirmation is the title of this episode. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Absolutely. And that is taken directly from a snippet of a poem by William Ernest Henley. It's called Invictus, and I'll read it in its entirety during the coaching piece of our episode. To all of you all who are just joining us, we just want to say thank you. Welcome to the kitchen table. And to all of you all who are returning, I already know you have pulled up your comfortable chair. Around here, we break things down into three layers. The first is all about coaching. Now, this is where I leave you with a couple nuggets just to challenge your thinking a little bit. Next, we have cocktails. Now, cocktails is not really about what you're sipping on, although there is absolutely no judgment. It's actually more about how you show up to this kitchen table, how we celebrate the greatness of who you are. And then there's those good old fashioned conversations. And as I mentioned, today we are talking to Dr. Kalik Kirkland. It's time for some coaching and a little bit of soul work. When I was in college, I learned this poem. It was called Invictus. It's again by William Ernest Henley, and it was written in 1875. But let me give you a little bit of the backstory about this poem. So when Henley was 16 years old, his left leg required amputation because he had tuberculosis. And when he started having problems with his other leg, he was told that it likely would have the same issues and he needed to do the same procedure on it. But he's like, absolutely not. I'm going to travel to figure out how we can get some interventions because I don't want to go through this procedure again, which, by the way, was amputation. Now, he did have to get multiple surgical interventions on his foot, but while he was recovering in the infirmary, he was moved to write these verses that became the poem Invictus. And that is what I want to share with you today, because the power of Invictus is its notion of self-discipline and fortitude in the midst of adversity. Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for this, my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, nor how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Invictus. When you hear that, what do you think about? When you hear the words, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. What do you think about? Let's get started. Let's write this down. We are getting into some soul work today. For me, it absolutely means that out of the darkness that might cover me right now in this moment, no matter what circumstance I'm standing upon, no matter where I find myself, I thank God for this soul that I have right now that is unconquered. Like, I'm going to move through this thing, this adversity, this pain, this misfortune. Like, I am going to move through this thing because I am the master of my fate. I determine what that is. I am the captain of my soul. Like, I am leading this vessel right here, and I will absolutely not allow this momentary interruption in my life to keep me hostage where I'm standing right now. I will not stand in complacency. That is what I pull away from it. I would absolutely love to hear what you are pulling away from this. So you have to email me at podcast.lolitawalker.com. And I would absolutely love to read your response right here on the show. The soul work today is not only thinking about that affirmation in this poem, it's really thinking about what circumstance you might be going through right now in this moment. And how can we help you through? How can you help yourself through? How can you think differently? So I want to leave you with these four considerations. Of course, it's written in an acronym, and our acronym today is FATE, F-A-T-E. That F is all about, you hear me say that all the time because it's one of the affirmations within my 40 deck of affirmation cards. Your faith and strengths have wings to protect your fall. Do you know what your strengths are? Are you standing upon your faith? You got to know that, and you got to be ready to leap. Leap out of wherever you are today. And it might not even be dark right now. It just might literally be complacency. You're moving and everything seems the same. But guess what? There's more out there. And yes, I'm talking to myself as well. That A is about acknowledge the good and the bad. Acknowledge the good and the bad. Speak it aloud. Speak your story aloud. I am here. I am standing right here. Give some gratitude for the good and the bad. Every morning, and some of you all know this, every morning Walker and I say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for waking me up and starting me on my way. Thank you for all of the blessings, the good and the bad that come through my day. Amen. It's hard. It's absolutely hard, but you got to say thank you in the midst of circumstance, because guess what? You're standing right here. There's someone else who is not gratitude, okay? Have you listened to my TED Talk? You know, I say that number of times. I am standing right here. So what are you going to do? You're going to move left. You're going to move right. You're going to move forward. You're going to go backward. You're going to stay where you are. What are you going to do? The choice is yours. Make it a good one. That T is about tackling the in touch mentality. We need to be in touch with our emotions, in touch with those around us, in touch with how others are being affected by our words, our actions, our behaviors, just simply in touch. That's about that connection. This is about looking outside of yourself, because everything is not about ourselves. And that E is all about empowering by meeting folks where they are. Meet folks where they are. Everybody's not where you are. There's some people that's further ahead. There's some people that's on every single direction and spectrum from where you are, right? We know that. You got to meet folks where they are. And I love this right here, this fate, because what Dr. Kirkland is talking about in conversations, it is all going to come together, you all. And I am so excited. So this soul work right here, listen, we're not going to stay in this space long. I want you to write it down inside of your CCNC journal that you already downloaded from lolitawalker.com/podcast. And I want you to take these notes for your soul work. What is it today? It is, what circumstance do you find yourself standing in right now? And using these four considerations, what's the next move that you can make today to get to where you want to be? It's time for some cocktails. What are we celebrating today? What are we celebrating? Woo! I am celebrating that coaching session. I am celebrating all of the nuggets that you're taking away today. I'm celebrating you for really sitting in those four considerations of fate, F-A-T-E. And I'm going to be doing that right along with you. I am celebrating a number of other things, and this is for you as well, just in advance of the conversations that we're about to have with Dr. Kirkland. But I am celebrating you for pivoting. I am celebrating you for the badassery that you are. I heard that word this week and it cracks me up because it's so true. You are a badass. Yes, I'm celebrating you for that. Here's a cheers. You know who I'm also celebrating? I am celebrating Judge Dara Govan. She's my big sister in Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, and she today was sworn in as the first Black female appointment in the county that she presides. This is so amazing. Congratulations. I absolutely love it. I am so proud of you. Cheers! And I'm also giving a super shout out to Jamie. Jamie wrote a message to me, and it says, "Dear Lolita, I can't tell you enough how your words are steadily impacting me in every single room that you're in Clubhouse. Thank you so much. I totally appreciate it. I thank God for the gift of voice. I thank God for the gift of passion, power, and purpose. And I'm so glad that you are feeling that. As we're talking about Clubhouse, just really quickly, you can find me in Clubhouse. I hope you will. At Hey, Coach Walker. I have Coaching Cocktails and Conversations right over on that platform as well, where we meet every Saturday, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I would absolutely love to see you. I also have Coaching Cocktails and Conversations Zoomcast every other Wednesday, 7 o'clock p.m. for the power women who are ready for an intimate setting to simply just relax, relate, release, and love on each other for a minute, empower each other for a minute, hold each other accountable for a minute. You can register for that at lolitawalker.com. It's time for some good old-fashioned conversations. Hey, Dr. Kalik Kirkland, and welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. How are you today?
I have a new definition of blessed, and that is when I can name 20 people that would switch places with me, and I can name 22, so I'm blessed.
Oh, look at that. Yes. Well, let's get into that real quick before you even introduce yourself. 22 people who would love to switch places with you. How do you know?
Because I speak to people on a regular basis. I have a close circle of people who I mentor. Mm-hmm. I hear stories on a regular basis. Just when you think that you got it bad, there are other people who have it far worse.
Hashtag absolutely. And I think the nature of the world and how it's shifting today really draws us into this conversation. I love that you started off that I'm blessed because the people in my circle, I can name 22 of them that are ready to switch places with me in this moment in time. And then we even go further into what we're talking about today is how to be the master of your fate, how to be the captain of your soul, Invictus, if I was to add that to the end. But how do you do that? And I love your story. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And when I say your story, I'm specifically talking about what I feel is an impact that you're making into the world, into the minds of our young people, into the minds of men, Black men, and really helping to shape kind of our community. And I think it's phenomenal.
I want to tell you that I am honored and humbled to be here. I honor you.
Thank you. Thank you. I receive all of that.
So again, I am Kalik Kirkland. Some people know me as Dr. Kirkland. Some people know me as Kalik. Some people just know me as Big Head from Bed-Stuy. I have two beautiful children, an amazing wife. My son is now a freshman at Morehouse. My daughter is a sophomore at the Kate School in California. Right now, I am the proud principal of the Boys Prep Bronx Elementary, which is a charter school on 151st and Grand Concourse, only a few blocks away from Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. There are 760 scholars, all boys. We're doing any and everything possible to make sure that they succeed. The reason why I started off with my own son is because I have this vision that says that I'm trying to create a school that I would have my own son attend. And that's what I live every day trying to do. Before that was at a private school in Chicago, and that was a school for gifted children. I was blessed to be there because what it did was it taught me that there are a whole lot more people that are gifted. They just never been tested. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was at a boarding school in Baltimore, and that school was called the Seed School of Maryland, the only public boarding school in the state, where we served scholars in grades 6 through 12. What that taught me was that despite a child's socioeconomic circumstances, no matter how bleak it may appear on paper, most children think that they come from a loving home. So it's kind of challenging when you're taking scholars out of their home environment, bringing them to a campus, regardless of how you might think that they're better off because of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Before that, I spent a long time in the Department of Education right here in District 13 in Brooklyn, where really that taught me any and everything that I know about education. We had around 1,000 scholars there that auditioned to get into the school based on band, drama, dance, vocal, art, and technology. I don't have any of those skills, but I've learned to appreciate them being at that school as a math teacher. Originally, I never wanted to be a teacher. I didn't think that I was going to be a teacher. I was always very good in math. 20 some odd years later, and I'm here, and I'm blessed to be here.
I love that. The piece that really caught my eye during the pandemic, creatively kind of shifting a little bit, was when I saw what you were doing for your students in your backyard.
Yeah. So number one, the pandemic hit everyone equally as hard, I believe. What I first had to do when we found that out, matter of fact, when we got the word that we were all going to be teaching remotely, what I want us to understand is that for some people that sounds very different. For some people, they just go home, turn on their laptop, turn on their parents' laptop, connect to their Wi-Fi, and then they see their teacher. What happens if you don't have a laptop? Mm-hmm. What happens if you got a laptop, but you don't have Wi-Fi? Mm-hmm. And what happens if you got a laptop, you got Wi-Fi, but your teacher is not equipped because he or she doesn't have the skills to be able to teach you remotely? Those are some of the components that I had to deal with my own school community. Now, mind you, remember, go back. This is when we had no idea how you could contract coronavirus, right? There was a whole lot, you know, remember people were scrubbing down their groceries with all kind of everything.
Cleaning agents, yeah.
Cleaning agents. And, you know, you couldn't come in the house with the same clothes that you had on outside.
Yep.
My wife and I, I'll never forget this. I'm so glad that she stayed with me after that because I wind up going into many of NYCHA houses, AKA the projects, to deliver laptop computers mm-hmm. to my scholars that didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think once about putting my life at risk. As a matter of fact, now, I took a picture of myself. It wasn't just me. It was maybe myself and two other gentlemen. I look back now, we had our mask on backwards or upside down. We didn't have them on the right way. But I knew that I felt good because my scholars were getting the technology that they needed.
Yeah, the resources that they needed to thrive. And I think that that shows empathy. That shows like I'm right here with you. I think even to your staff members, talk to us about this backyard setup you had to teach your kids.
Yeah, it all came from D-Night. So he came up with the idea where he was entertaining us mm-hmm. and we were not able to leave the house. And he would change his hats as he was going through music, whatever, whatever. It was nice outside then. I decided, you know what? Let me get on Facebook Live. Yep. Let me talk to my families because I needed a way to be able to give our families the information that they might not receive through a regular email.
Principal Kirkland.
Fake DJing, you know, with turntables and all of that. Everything. They loved it. And we had, you know, a few hundred of our families, teachers, mm-hmm. students online. And I know a large majority of my kids by name. So I was able to, you know, give them a shout out when their family would log on or when my teacher, my kindergarten teacher would log on. I'd say, yo, what's up with Miss Rivera from kindergarten? You know, shout out to you and all that stuff that you're doing. And listen, at that point in time, all I tried to do was to do my best to ease the anxiety just a little bit for our entire community. So that was for teachers, for children, as well as our parents.
Yes. You know, what I hear you really saying is Not only did I meet them where they were, but I wanted to lessen the load because we were all stressed the hell out. I mean, that's just reality. Everything looked different. Everything was up in the air. Everything felt chaotic. People didn't really have resources. And I think that when we as adults are able to come into a situation and to provide some level of a bit of normalcy in the midst of it all, a bit of comfort, I think that that helps us become the master of our fate. So let me ask you this. When you hear me say how to become the master of your fate and the captain of your soul in relation to what you do, what do you think of? What's the how? How do you even start doing that?
I think it starts for me, it starts with prayer, where I'm grounded in my spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I understand who I am and who I'm not. I understand that it's prayer that people continue to pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I am where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I've hit what I thought was rock bottom, and the Lord still found a way for me. What I try to do is to continue to pray for my circle and people around me so that I could do not only what's good for me, what's good for everyone around me. So it's not good enough just for me to pray for myself, mm-hmm. but I need to pray for my family because whatever happens to them is going to impact me. I need mm-hmm. to pray for my school because whatever happens at school is going to impact me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one. Number two is that I also have to recognize that, you know, I just heard my pastor talk, and he says, you know, sometimes God puts us in hiding, where he is hiding us to perfect us and to perfect and to prepare us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very comfortable now where I am in life. I feel like I have a calling in life to help others. And I take that really seriously. Everything from how I talk, how I dress, how I act towards others.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it just for me, but I'm doing it for many others.
Yeah, you know, when I talked to folks around the kitchen table today before you even got here, I talked about this notion of fate. F-A-T-E. I'm always trying to leave a couple nuggets so people could write that down and at least think about it. This is what I call soul work. Think about it. Ponder on what we talked about. So now you can shift differently should you choose to, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this thing about fate and how you can become this master of your fate. And some of the things I even heard you say, that F was all about knowing that your faith and strengths have wings that will protect your fall.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you talked about faith. I love the notion of what you're grounded in. And even that A you just talked about was acknowledging the good and the bad,
mm-hmm.
right? Being able to acknowledge that this is where I am right now. Absolutely. Or I made some tough decisions and they weren't always the right ones, but look at where I am right now and finding that gratitude in it all. And how do you keep your students, those you mentor, those 22, mm-hmm. as well as the students that you have, how do you keep them motivated to recognize that there's more beyond where they're seated today?
Number one, I think it starts with love, where I think too many, you've heard the research. I don't, you know, we don't need to have a social science class here about third grade report cards and yes. test scores generate prison cells.
Prison population, yep. Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that. So what I think a lot of our young men need, even in the midst of the pandemic, is love.
Mm-hmm.
They need hugs. And then once I get that, I got them. I got them. So, and I recognize that for many of them, I am a father figure,
mm-hmm.
big brother, uncle, and I take that very seriously. So what I'm always doing is it's constantly pushing them on, hey, what's up? You good? And I start off with, you good? It's hard for the average person to say, no, I'm not good. No, you are good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really serious about that. We're in test prep season with the idea that we might have state exams. All of my students, I know a story about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I know
mm-hmm.
that your mother braids hair at her own beauty parlor, and I'm able to have a conversation with you about that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that your mother actually walks you to school and stops off at Dunkin' Donuts in the morning. You know something a little bit about them, their eyes begin to open up. When you know somebody, they're going to respond differently because they know that you care about them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The T and the E. Oh, my goodness. It's like we are so in touch with this. And I love that it's all coming together. That T was about tackling the in touch mentality, tackling how to be in touch. How are you going to touch that person and meet them where they are and then share their story, which also goes into the E a little bit, which is empower by meeting folks where they are. when you tackle it all together, that F-A-T-E that we're really talking about is pausing for a moment. Mm-hmm. And actually get to know someone, like leave your stuff to the corner just for a minute, because sometimes we don't even recognize that our words and actions are penetrating someone inside of this moment. And it may seem so small to us, but when I think about the master of my fate and the captain of my soul, it is that it's beyond me, mm-hmm. right? I want you to feel this. I want you to know the foundation that you stand upon. Talk to your students right now. Imagine that one or two of them might actually listen in to hear Principal Kirkland on the ones and twos. What would you tell them right now?
Let me give you a true story. You can't, okay. You can't make this up. This happened just last night. It's Sunday. I don't even know why I'm on the gram. And one of my former students finds me. His name is Adam. And Adam was excited because he just got a job at our old school. Adam just recently graduated from college in January. He sent me a text message saying he's starting to work on Monday. And he asked me, where do you buy your suits? Because I remember that you used to always have nice suits. So I sent it to him, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, you know, what's your address? Because I'm going, and I didn't tell him this, but today I literally just put a suit in the mail because I remember that he and I awesome. Were close to the same size, right?
Yeah.
So he says to me, I said, well, listen, you know, Adam, I'm kind of upset with you because I would have thought that you would have invited me to your graduation. And he says, listen, Dr. Kirkland, just so that you know, I graduated in January, but because of the pandemic, mm-hmm. we didn't have the ceremony and it's not going to happen until May or June, but you should know that I'm definitely going to have you there. So I said, okay, cool. It's all love. And he said, just so that you know, he said, you gave me a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. He said, I just want you to know that I've worn those shoes for every major event
wow. in life
since you've worn those. Mm. So do I even remember those shoes? Mm-hmm. No, I don't remember those shoes. Mm-hmm. But that relationship that we had has now gone beyond just a pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. So he's probably interviewed with those shoes on, went to weddings with those shoes on, maybe funerals with those shoes on. And he's thought about Dr. Kirkland.
Absolutely.
Every time he put those shoes on. So that's what I'm talking about, being the master of your faith. It's also recognizing that even the smallest of things that you do is going to shape and mold not only your life, but somebody else's.
Absolutely. I think everyone listening in, like think about that teacher or that principal, that educator, right? We spend so much time in school. 8 hours of our day is spent in school away from our parents, but with these change makers and change breakers and change takers that are shaping our minds. So imagine that one person that has impacted you and you can still talk about today. That is the power. Likewise, another piece of the power is that one educator that we're talking about that really you're like, oh, what is happening? But for me, I remember my fifth grade teacher, Miss Vera Smith. And I remember one of my college professors, and I remember the impact that they had on me. And it really stemmed from exactly what you said, like they cared. They took an extra moment to really be vested into my learning and really talk to me, articulate to me the value that they saw in me and where they could see me going. And that right there makes all of the difference.
Yeah. But we have to also try to recognize that in the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, or at least, you know, pull somebody's coattails because, you know, it's not always going to be rosy. It might be that teacher who pushes you and pushes you hard because they see better in you. Mm-hmm. And you might not recognize that in the heat of the moment. Unfortunately, it might not be someone who looks like you.
Absolutely.
It might be someone of a different nationality or a different gender.
Yep.
It's something that we need to take serious heed in. Educators now are doing God's work. Mm-hmm. In schools nowadays, there's still a whole lot of educators out there that really just do care for their scholars as if they're their own children.
I think you mentioned that there were four different experiences you had within the educational realm. I'd love for you to tell me how that linkage has really had you start to run your school as if it's the school, like you said in the beginning, that you want to build and create.
And I was a math teacher. I'm just kidding about you. Did you finish your math homework? And then I went to I rarely left my classroom. I mean, I was really, you know, super serious at that time. I remember going to a performance that my kids were involved in, and I saw some of my best scholars, like, you know, playing an instrument, playing a trombone. I was like, yo, you. So you got to realize that children have other talents, mm-hmm. and that you need to. So now I was able to say, yo, you know, that you could do that, that when you're playing a trombone or when you're reading music, that's math as well. Mm-hmm. When I worked in Baltimore, the scholars had to come into the school and they had to show that they were at risk for not going on to successfully graduate from college. And what did that mean? You're coming from a single parent household, maybe somebody in your immediate family was recently incarcerated, or you just are five people living in a two bedroom house. Mm-hmm. And I remember we did home visits for those scholars in order to like prove that you were eligible. And what I learned from that school environment is sometimes you have to truly visit a child's home mm-hmm. to be able to understand the shoes that they walk in mm-hmm. before you start going off on them about being late to school. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And recognize what it is that they have to sacrifice even to get to school. Then there was the school for the gifted scholars. I learned a lot about the brain. And what they say is the truly gifted child is not gifted in everything. So you might have a three-year-old that understands times tables but couldn't tie his shoe. Mm-hmm. Or a scholar who is able to know the symbol for pi and can read off 90 digits, but doesn't know his ABCs. So I recognize that, you know, the gifted mind is a very fragile one, but there are far too many kids who look like you and I who are also gifted, but they've never been pushed because they weren't offered that exam. Mm-hmm. And then finally, at my present school, at the Boys Prep, what I'm learning is that an overwhelming majority of my families are run by single mothers. Mm-hmm. Our Black and brown mothers truly, truly, truly love their sons. Mm-hmm. And sometimes almost to a detriment where they're, you know, you've heard the phrase, we're loving our sons and raising our daughters. Mm-hmm. What you got to think about is that for many of them, they are using video games to serve as babysitters for their sons. They just know that they're safe. We accuse them of giving them too much love, but in reality, all they're doing is just trying to keep their sons safe.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, you said so much there. One of the things that 2020 reminded us in full force, as we had this momentary interruption in our life that we were voluntold to have, mm-hmm. right? We didn't ask for it, is how our Black and brown, and I'm going to say boys specifically because that's who you work with, mm-hmm. are seen by the media, are treated by society. And I'm wondering, how did you and your staff broach that topic with your scholars, knowing the environment that we live in and knowing that they are growing up in this world, yet they still need to stand on a foundation of who they are and walk this thing called life every day. How did you guys approach that?
We had a men of color symposium. I'm blessed to be able to have a huge number of men of color who are teachers in our school. Mm-hmm. So when I gathered all of them, and of course I have other men at the school, but we gathered all the men of color and we asked them to give just one piece of advice to the young men of color so that they wouldn't wind up on the 6 o'clock news mm-hmm. or the cover of CNN for weeks at a time. That was probably one of the most powerful moments that we had. As a matter of fact, we realized that, you know, with a Zoom room that you need to expand your room, because I think that we only had room for like 900 and we had over 1,000 families that wanted to get on.
Wow.
So that was really powerful. But we hit it head on. Whereas sometimes I have to tell my young men, listen, you're in the seventh grade, but you look like you're 19. Mm-hmm. I know you're only 14, mm-hmm. but you look like you're 19. You do something, for lack of a better word, stupid outside on a train, mm-hmm. and somebody is going to treat you like you are 19. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes you have to just teach them just like that. Like, you know, no, I know that you could be comical, but you got to know when to stop.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we're also teaching them how to be, unfortunately, our Black men, Black young men need to learn very fast how to humble themselves to live another day. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you just humble yourself and say, you know what, my bad officer, this is what happened. You know, coming very respectfully, because you might not have done anything, but just your initial tone might change your life for the better. But a lot of times just come back and we try to teach them to humble ourselves to be able to say, you know what, how do I look from another vantage point? Forget about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Or I like to tell kids all the time, don't tell me what you did. Tell me what you were accused of. What were you accused of? Because then, you know, the student will take it from a different dynamic. And finally, we talk about respecting your mother and always being honest with your mother. So if anybody ever accused you of doing something that you didn't do, you want your mother to be able to look at you in the face and believe mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the nuggets that we try to give.
No, I like that a lot. Especially as things unfold in our world, especially as mothers, I'm a co-parenting mom. And with my son living with me, there's conversations that we have. I say to him very similar things. You have got to always tell me the truth. You've got to always tell me the truth because I want to always have your back. And I think that that's so important. And I love that you guys are talking that. Tell me a little bit about showing up. I'm always talking about this notion of stand up. We need to show out. What does that mean to you? How do you talk to your students about that?
Well, let me go back to our poem, which is our theme for today, and mm-hmm. it's Invictus. Mm-hmm. So there's a line in Invictus that says, under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloodied but unbowed. Mm-hmm. What I want to make sure that my students recognize is that there's nothing that will come across their desk that I have not already challenged them with. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that they feel extremely confident going into an exam, going into an interview, going into a place where they have to talk on stage and feel like, you know what? No, I did this with Dr. Kirkland. He heckled me the entire time. Mm-hmm. Or he gave me problems that were, you know, that there was no solution. So this is nothing. That's what I want them to feel.
That's really around this whole proper preparation prevents this piss poor performance. It's all about challenging you. And honestly, that's what my HBCU did for me. That's what Morgan State University did for me. And I love it. People ask me all the time, what was it about that experience that really sits with you today? And my teachers pushed me in a way that I think prepared me for the corporate environment that I was going to. Mm-hmm. And it was different. My father and my mother pushed me in a way, but then they pushed me to a point of these presentations. I'm like, why is it that they're so hard on me? Why is it that they're pushing me this much? And I really think that it prepared me. So I think some of what we talked about today is really coming to fruition. It is one, showing up. And what does that look like? It's really setting expectations, mm-hmm. right? When you set expectations and you can see that vision of where you could go, even if you didn't think you could go there, then you show up differently. Have a lot of your students been exposed to travel outside of their normal blocks?
No, their 10 block radius, no. But I have absolutely no problem bringing in my passport to be able to show them, this is where I went over the break. Mm-hmm. And this is why I went over the break. My wife and I have a new thing now where we've pledged that we will visit as many countries in Africa. Mm-hmm. That we have visited in the Caribbean or in Europe.
I love that.
And I brag to my students all the time about, you know, where I've been, showing it to them on the map. It's also good, you know, we bring in math problems, figuring out, well, how far is this really from where you are? No, it's not around the corner. No, it's not a train ride. Mm-hmm. No, you'll have to fly there. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, there are a few of scholars whose parents have the means to be able to do that, but the overwhelming majority of scholars do not. But I encourage our families to get your child a passport. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know where you're going to go or what opportunities are going to come up that you're going to need a passport, and you need to be able to go there immediately.
I'm on this audio app and I did a room the other day where I talked about when information meets opportunity, mm-hmm. managing that risk and what does that look like? I love that you are exposing scholars and even if we think about adults to information mm-hmm. outside of where their comfort zone is and then allowing that opportunity to come and now you're ready for it. exposure. A lot of people don't have parents that have even traveled at all either. So for them to be able to come in and feel comfortable talking to you, I think sets the stage that you will be in constant contact with them over time. And that must feel good.
Got to. It definitely does. I think that it is very important. I want to give the women in my life, my mother, mm-hmm. who as a kid, she called me Dr. KK. So I had a very big head. So the size of my head now is the same size that it was when I was very early. I mean, and it was always big head. And my mother used to call me Dr. KK. And she said, you know, your head is so big because you're just smart and you're going to be a doctor. And again, this is very early age that she was telling me this. So she's always been the inspiration to me. I rely on her for that. And I love her for that. My daughter is the one that provides me the joy. So there's nothing that she can do that doesn't make me smile. Mm-hmm. And I love her for that. And she can, of course, do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. Then there's my wife who provides that support that I need, that ride or die that's going to say, yeah, you sound crazy, but I'm down.
Yes.
That's what you need.
Come through, sore, Kelly. I love that you called out these three power women that are in your life.
There are influential women in our lives that are living amongst us right now. Mm-hmm. And they need to be honored while they're here. Mm-hmm.
If you could choose one thing that you see as a trend, not only in your students, but in our young folks today, mm-hmm. what would you say it was? And then what would your advice be to help them shift differently?
What I'm seeing is that I have absolutely no problem with children playing video games. But what I tell the parents is that, you know, you have to be mindful. Yeah, you can play the video game for an hour, but you're also going to read for an hour. I don't see nearly enough of children learn to read so that you can read to learn. And I don't see enough children reading to learn about something else. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying my best to encourage my families never to use reading as a punishment.
Yeah.
So I take away your video game and I say, okay, well, now you got to read this book and do this report. No, that's not the case, because then they will hate reading. Mm-hmm. So then you have to also be a reader in your house. So I don't think we have enough of our families that are sitting down just stopping everything and we're just going to read together.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that that's something that folks listening in could take away, because time is of essence. You know, even though we're in a pandemic, we are doing more at home, especially as parents, especially as caretakers. There's so much going on because our home is where everything is right now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that comes with pressure and time constraints. And maybe it's, because I love to leave these nuggets of consideration, is maybe it's taking time out and Wednesday nights is going to be the time where we do family reading together. Mm-hmm. Maybe Thursday nights is your family meetings. As I grew up, we had family meetings, and mm-hmm. we do. Because they're so important to be able to communicate in a structured way, but also know that conflict happens and how are we going to resolve that? But it is very difficult to find that family time that is dedicated where you as the parent are away from your own work mm-hmm. in order to dedicate that time.
Yeah,
but how do you manage it?
But anything that I make it a priority. Mm-hmm. And I think that at times it will be different people in your family. Mm-hmm. That will say, oh yeah, we got to get together because we haven't got together in, mm-hmm. you know, 2 weeks. So one time it may be your mother, one time it might be my wife, one time it might be my brother. It says, okay, yeah, we're going to have dinner. And I'm like, why we got to do that? Mm-hmm. And we just went over to, you know, my mother's house on Sunday. But what was even better than the meal was the conversation about, you know, catching up about family members, politics, the latest movie that we saw. But I'm also really big on thanking my mother after that, you know, mm-hmm. for opening up her doors for us to be able to provide that that space for us as a family.
Yeah.
Like I said in the beginning, that there are 22 people that would switch places, and there were 22 people that I know that would love to be able to have a family dinner
yeah.
with their mother, brother, and sisters.
Oh my gosh, so powerful, so powerful. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. This has been an amazing pleasure. I am so proud of you for the work that you're doing in your community, in your school, really setting the expectation and the bar for your scholars. It's a big deal. And whether or not you see it and hear it, I know the 22 folks have told you it, but I want you to know that there's so many others that you inspire through your Facebook page as you go live and continue to talk about your students. So kudos to you. Cheers to you. I want to ask you to give a cheers. And this is where we say cheers to what? I want you to leave a nugget with the audience that they should absolutely walk away with.
Cheers to the ability to accept constructive feedback. I have a fifth degree black belt in giving constructive feedback because that's what I do for a living. I think that I have a third degree black belt in receiving constructive feedback. And when I say, I heard this a long time ago, and they said, when you are receiving constructive feedback, you go through the Sarah moment. It's called shock, anger, resentment, acceptance, and hope. Shock, anger, resentment, acceptance, and hope when you're receiving constructive feedback. Some of us go to from S to H very fast. Some of us stay in shh too long. I think that we need to be mindful about that. And it might happen, you know, for some people, the receiving constructive feedback might happen just in a minute. So it might happen overnight. So it might take a few days or too long. But cheers to the people who can accept constructive feedback and accept it well, accept it lovingly, accept it with open arms, and still love the person that gave it to you.
I love that.
And remember, like I started off, no, the kudos really belong to you. I'm honored to be here. You are already blowing up, and I'm honored to be able to say that I was a part of this at this stage in your life.
Oh, so, thank you. I appreciate you.
Have a blessed evening.
We have concluded another episode of Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker. Connect with me at lolitawalker.com for speaking, coaching, and my book, The Intersection of You and Change. Next time, bring a friend. Cheers.